Hi, I'm your host, Melody. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I've asked Debbie to read a portion of the bookmark, Sponsorship, Working Together to Recover, M78.
Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. An opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor. A benefit at any stage of recovery. A commitment to practice healthy communication not based on intimidation or demands. In agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation. An opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship. An experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment. A spiritual relationship with no strings attached. A one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club. A bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to a power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others.
Thank you, Debbie. Today we will be exploring segment 9. When a sponsee begins to sponsor, we will be looking at how can a sponsor encourage a sponsee to begin sponsoring, supporting new sponsors, keeping boundaries and confidentiality, other tips for new sponsors. We will now hear from our speakers. They are Marcia, Valerie, Yvonne, Sue, Joy, and Cindy.
Thank you. My name is Valerie, and I'm from a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you for letting me share today. I have been in the program since 1987, and when I first came into these rooms, I met a woman at a meeting, and I liked what she had to share, and so I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said yes. It took me a while to get up the courage to work the steps, but we did, and when I got to step 4, which was almost terrifying for me, I was filled with more fear than anything else, and started to share things that I had never shared with anybody before, and she ran into my partner at an AA meeting, and my partner comes home and says, "Hey, I hear you don't like me doing such and such." And I was like taken back. I'm like, "Well, how did you hear this information?" And she said, "Oh, well, so and so shared it." And I'm like, "That's not right." So it happened again, that something that I had shared with my sponsor, and then she shared it with my partner at a different meeting. Wow, that really hurt. I lost my trust and my faith in the sponsor, and I did have to let her go. That was unacceptable. But it took me a while to be able to stand up for myself. And when I asked this sponsor, you know, gosh, isn't this supposed to be confidential or private? And she said, oh, I have a hard time keeping secrets. So, you know, it's like, no. So I went outside of my my home meeting area. I'm a lesbian, so I started out in gay Al-Anon or AA. And I decided that that pool of people was just too small, too incestuous. You know, people were sponsoring people on people. And so I at my other meetings, you know, I started to look for a sponsor. And I asked one woman to be my sponsor, and she said no. So I continue looking for other sponsors. So I go back to that same woman and ask if she'll sponsor me again. And she said no, she was too full. And so I kept looking for another sponsor. And then I went back to this other same woman after three tries, and she finally said yes. And so we gave it. She said, let's try 90 days. And see how it works. And, you know, we did that, and it was, we realized it was going to be a good relationship. There was safety, there was trust, you know, being a sponsor for me is, I got to learn how to have safe, intimate, non-sexual, one-on-one relationships where it's not, appropriate for me to share in meetings. So I really completely understand the part of boundaries and confidentiality. You know, we work so hard to unearth and peel off those layers of the onions. And, you know, I was so grateful that I had, somebody who I could trust. Now, our lives would have never, ever come together. I was a lesbian. You know, no kids. She's married, three kids, Jewish. She's celebrating her 55th wedding anniversary. And our lives would have never met. But after all these years of working the steps, going to meetings, doing service together, she's now been my sponsor for 33 years. I have had other sponsors. One of my recovery, both my parents were addicts, alcoholics. And in that, there was also a lot of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. And my sponsor did not have any experience, gratefully, with incest and physical abuse. So I sought out other people who had the experience, strength, and hope that I needed in that area of my life. So I have had more than one sponsor at a time due to different issues. And that was extremely helpful. you know, I somebody says, well, how do you find a sponsor? You know, and I say, listen, go to meetings, listen to people. If they say something that floats your boat, go and talk to them afterward. I've moved a few times, so I've had in-person sponsors, while my main sponsor in Southern California is, she'll always be my first sponsor. But I've had other sponsors, and I even had a sponsor pass with cancer, and that was very sad. You know, going through these life-changing births, deaths, marriages, divorces, you know, and when we work the steps together, we benefit mutually. You know, so when I started to sponsor, I said, well, how do I know when I'm ready to sponsor? She says, well, all you have to be is one step ahead of the person you're sponsoring, you know, and we learn it together. We go together. And my job is really just to listen, you know, be a love and support. And one thing I also learned about sponsorship for me is through the years, I've had a number of people ask me to sponsor them, and not everyone sticks around. Not everyone stays. And, you know, this program has changed my life so much. I want you to have what I have. I want you to have what I have gotten. But I can't do it for you. I can't work the steps for you. I can't make you go to meetings. And so if you're not going to work the program, then You know, there's other people who need time and attention. So, I can't want something more than you. And so I'm grateful that I just have to let go of the outcome, to the relationship. And let's see. I think that's some, I don't know how much time I've spoken, but I think, I'm close to my 15 minutes. Am I?
No, you're about halfway.
No.
if you care to share more, if that's all you'd like to share, that's fine. You decide.
I'm having issues that I can't see anybody. And I apologize. It's just different. It's just different for me. So I think for now, that's what I'm going to share. I appreciate you letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie. Our next speaker is Marcia.
Hi, this is exciting. I am Marcia, and I am in El Cajon, which is in Southern California. And my home group is Hope for Parents, which usually meets on Tuesday nights. Live, but we've been zooming away like the rest of all you. So being the person I am that's a little OCD, so you give me a topic and I write. It's like, oh, I have to do this right. So, and I'm a bullet point kind of thinker. That's partially how my service has been leaning me towards, like, okay, just get to the point, Marcia. So I'm going to start off at the first question. How can a sponsor encourage a sponsee to begin sponsoring? What I like to do is I like to celebrate their completion of the steps. Talk about whatever the next step could be for them, as in, are you ready to pay it forward? And start the discussion about being a sponsor. I might ask if they're ready to be a sponsor. Why? Why not? If they have time to be a sponsor, and how might they work their schedule to have time, flexibility? What would you say if someone approaches you to be a sponsor? If you think it might be a good match, not be a good match? The idea of being a temporary sponsor while the two of you figure that out? And as a squirrel, that's where I make a sidetrack. As a squirrel, I have been temporary sponsors sometimes, and somehow they get switched over to being permanent, even though at the time I'm thinking we're not a good match, but, you know, God's in charge, not me. Another question I might ask is, how do you think being a sponsor might help you grow in your program? What are the things you thought worked in our relationship as sponsor-sponsee, and what things might you do differently as a sponsor? And I'm hoping they would be honest with me to go, well, I kind of like this, but no, I really didn't like this. I think I might do it different. And then ideas on how to invite your higher power into this process. The next question was supporting new sponsors. So I won't read any of the CAL material, but I might ask them, what conference-approved literature are you thinking about using? Do you picture yourself working with the literature at the same time they are? Or is it, okay, do your homework and then come back? And, of course, the sponsorship bookmark is one of my favorites. I know for me personally, when I've worked with a brand-new sponsee, we're out to dinner, coffee, and, well, the old days. And we talk about the sponsorship bookmark very openly. And, of course, the P31 sponsorship, what is it all about? Paths to Recovery workbook. Now, I was one of those with the Paths to Recovery, of course, those questions. It bugged the crap out of me that they weren't numbered. That's how OCD I am. I even wrote to World Service saying, why aren't these numbered? Well, and of course, then shortly after, then the workbook comes out. But I told sponsees, you know, the workbook is wonderful, but if you don't want to spend money on it, just get a notebook. Number those questions in your book. Number them in your workbook. It's all good. Of course, the original blueprint for progress, the small one. Maybe the larger one, but I think sometimes for first-time sponsors, sponsees, I think I like the small one first to start with. The first time I worked with a sponsor, I used the big one, and there were so many places where I had to say, oh, no, I'm skipping that whole part and just kept moving on. Now, my own personal view on reaching for personal freedom, which is P92, I've done that in a woman's group when we were working the steps. And almost the entire time I thought, wow, this would not be good if this was my first time working the steps. It, to me, there's so many questions there and references that make it sound like you've done your steps before. So personally, that would be something I wouldn't recommend for the first time. So, and so asking my sponsee, what would they do, maybe, if their sponsee suggests using the AA Big Book or other outside literature? How might you handle that? I don't want to tell them what to do. I just want them to start thinking of some of these things. How do you envision your first meeting with your potential new sponsee? And, of course, now, how might you work around the COVID constraints? And are you okay with telling your sponsee, I'll get back to you. So you can personally check in with your sponsor or another ALA buddy. Do you know other members who are sponsors that you can connect with? Because I know that I'm hoping my sponsees would work with me on things maybe to do with them being a sponsor, but I'm not the only go-to gal around. I want them to have other connections. Okay, the next question was keeping boundaries and confidentiality. First off, I'm all about, am I echoing? Okay, anyway, first off, I might say, how would you approach your own time constraints and boundaries with the sponsee? Do you have a boundary if your sponsee stops participating in meetings, Zoom or live, or if they stop connecting with you for a period of time? These are just, you know, think about these things. Are there topics you might prefer to not discuss with the sponsee, such as politics, religion? You know, I think many of us know those aren't really easy ones, but sometimes it's nice to be upfront and say, you know, this is not something I'm comfortable talking with you about. And of course, are you able to keep what your sponsee shares with you confidential? As in, you don't share it with another Al-Anon member, a family member, anybody else. Can you share your experience, strength, and hope with your sponsee and encourage each other to not name names and speak more generally about a situation? And if you have a question about how you want to respond to a sponsee, do you think you could talk to it confidentially with your sponsor without sharing the sponsee's name or particular details? So, for instance, if I'm working with a sponsee and there's something where I'm just stumped, you know, something's going on with our relationship and I'm not sure how to work it out, I might check in with my sponsor and say, generally, I'm having difficulty connecting, blah, 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 but not really give the details and definitely not name who I'm talking about. But that way I can tap into my strength, you know, through my sponsor. And then the last question was other tips for new sponsors. One of the things I recommend is keep checking in with your sponsee, especially at the beginning. Now, I know some sponsors will say, oh, it's up to the sponsee to do the phone calling. Well, I agree with that, but after a point. I think sometimes, I know for me anyway, that when I first start working with someone, and especially in the old days when the phone did weigh like 20 pounds, remember we'd say, oh, 20 pounds, I can't call. Well, sometimes it does take a while to get that relationship going. So at the beginning, I will do maybe a little more reaching out. But, you know, there is that point. And to also talk about what communication methods you both prefer. So, for instance, now I'm so grateful because we have all kinds of communication methods, you know. In the old days, it was only the phone, but now we have, you know, email, we have text messages, and I've joked with people, carrier pigeon, but if you send a carrier pigeon, I have five cats, the pigeon will probably be killed. So anyway, so much for my humor. However, email, I'm not always the best emailer, but there was one night with my son when, you know, the shit hit the fan. It was awful. We had the sheriff and blah, blah, blah. It was 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep. So I thought, I have to release this. So I sent an email to my sponsor. Well, what was so funny was the next day she said, Marcia, you know, I actually was up. You could have called me. And it's like, oh, who knew? But that was a method that she and I worked out, that I knew I could go ahead, I could release it, I could connect with her, and I didn't expect a response. It was more for me, you know, but we did hook up later. So I think figuring out some of those details with your sponsee, and then for me to encourage my sponsee to do that with her potential sponsee, if that makes any sense. Oh, the other thing is, I might say to a new sponsor, watch out for your own character challenges that might get in the way of a healthy relationship, such as caretaking and people pleasing, because that's something I do. And I have to be so careful when someone suggests something and my knee jerk is, oh, I can help you with this, rather than, you know what? I know it's in the service manual. Why don't you look it up? You find this, you know. I also want to encourage sponsees to be responsible for their own recovery. You know, I consider myself as like a sponsor, like a tool. I'm just a tool, but I'm not responsible for their recovery. And I might also tell a new sponsor, look for similarities between you and your sponsee. I have, like another person was saying, sometimes we have relationships with people we never thought we would, but that's because we have found the similarities rather than the differences, you know, and I never realized how that was until one time, this was years ago, I had, I think, three people that I care about deeply that I sponsor, and they don't know that I sponsor each of them. I don't do that grand sponsoring, any of that. Our relationships are all individual. But I thought, I like them. I think maybe they'll get along. We all went out for dinner. And what I didn't realize is those quirks that are endearing to me that I don't focus on for each of these people didn't work real well for a dinner situation. It's like, oh, okay. I have been able to focus on the similarities, but not the differences. But when you're all out for dinner, sometimes those differences all go wham right in your face. So anyway, and also to tell a new sponsor to figure out your particular style. How do you want to be a sponsor? What do you think works for you? And I've often told sponsees, I'm a pretty casual kind of gal. You know, I will give direction, but I'm certainly never going to tell you what to do. If you want to call me once a week, wonderful. Am I going to say you have to call at 6 o'clock every morning? No, that's not my style. So to kind of figure that out together with your sponsee and recognize it's okay if you're not a match. That doesn't mean, as it was said in the bookmark also, this is not a relationship that has to be death do us, till death do us part. If it's not working, it's not a reflection on you. However, I also want to caution for me and my sponsee, who might be a sponsor, to check in to see what your part might be, because sometimes there's more there than we know. And then the last tip I might give for a new sponsor is enjoy this growth experience. This is really something that for me is such a growth thing. And I'm so excited about some of the sponsees I work with. Sometimes they call me and I needed an Al-Anon call. You know how that works. I call it that God thing, you know, where someone calls you and go, oh my God, I'm so glad. Or I call a sponsee and they go, oh no, I was just going to call you, you know. So I guess that's it. I try to just cover the questions that we were given. And I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. At this time, our last speaker is Yvonne.
Hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen, and I live in California North. And Claudia, thank you for asking me. And when Claudia asked me, she said, can you talk about how a sponsor can encourage a sponsee to become a sponsor? And I'm like, sure. I never checked the letter because I'm like, I got the code. Because I'm sitting here going, oh, there's more questions. How interesting. So, how can I encourage a sponsee to begin sponsoring? You know, what I discovered is in Al-Anon that I learned in the alcoholic home how to be in my life, and I replicate what I've learned there. And how I'm sponsored, I'm replicating of how I was sponsored. What I learn is what I'm going to replicate, and then I'm going to discover who am I in those principles and in that belief system that I have learned. So I encourage sponsees. I see sponsoring as part of service, and I'm very service-oriented, so I don't tell them they have to do service, but when you talk to me, the word comes up all the time, and sooner or later they're like, hey, should I do this, should I do that? I'm like, why not? And when we've done the fourth step, I very often organically, you know, through my higher power, I'm like, hey, you may want to pray for the willingness to be available to sponsor. And they go, do I have to? I'm like, well, you don't have to do anything, but I think it's a good idea. Why don't you involve God in that process and be open to being a sponsor? You may or may not. I mean, you know, are you willing? And so that's how I first encourage them. And sometimes they get asked without me even encouraging. God has ideas of his own. And you get the panic call of like, oh my God, somebody asked me to sponsor them. I'm like, okay, great. Congratulations. Well, I don't know if I can do it. And I remember when somebody asked me to sponsor them, I was in a panic, and I called my sponsor and said, what am I supposed to do with this? He goes, well, why not? I'm like, no, you don't understand. She drives a Mercedes. I don't. And he goes, what's that got to do with it? I'm like, well, I don't know. I can sponsor her. And he goes, Yvonne, that's not what this is about. You're just going to take it to the steps. I'm like, okay, all right, all right. And I think he had to tell me that for the next 2 years. And I think the most important messages that I tell my sponsees is like, well, are you curious what God has in store for you? There's a reason why this person asks you. I learn more from sponsorship, I think, than I give. I get these mini personalities of me to ask me to sponsor them, and then I have to look at me, and I have to deal with me. It's like, oh my gosh. And then I get people that have different points of view and that ask me questions, and I'm like, well, give me a day. I'll get back to you on that. And I call my own sponsor, or I have to do the writing on that. And I can be honest and say, you know what? I'm working on that. Give me a couple of days. I'll get back to you. That you're not alone. You're not going to solve people's problems. You're not supposed to take on their lives. You're not going to tell them what to do. You're going to share what was step one for you. You're going to pass on what you have found in the steps. You're going to pass on what you have learned, whatever that is for you. I said, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And that's what I was told, and I'm never alone. And what always happens in service, I have to draw closer to the God of my understanding. And supporting new sponsors, I go to foreign countries to meetings, specifically some of my, where my roots are, and sponsorship is very non-existent. And I got the call from a gal, she's 27, and she was, oh my God, somebody asked me to sponsor them. I'm like, awesome. I said, so what are you going to do? She goes, well, she wants to meet. And I said, well, are you meeting? And she goes, well, yeah. I said, great. And she goes, I don't even know how that works, that first conversation. I said, well, did you call your sponsor? She goes, no, she's asleep. I'm like, really? How lucky for you that Yvonne is awake in the United States, 9 hours difference. Is that great? And she goes, well, I don't know if that's great. I can hear it in the tone of your voice. I said, so what are you going to discuss with her? And she goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, you've got to remember this woman is brand new. She has no idea what sponsorship is. She doesn't know. I said, when I was new, I expected my sponsor to call me because she'd never defined what that would look like. So I sat at home waiting for her to call me. I didn't know that they would never call me. Nobody told me that. So that became one of the first things that I always make sure to tell them. I said, look, you call me, I don't necessarily call you, and I definitely don't come looking for you every 5 minutes. And as I establish that relationship, I know whether somebody is consistent or shows up and suits up and shows up, and if they don't, I get worried. But when you flake out every other week, I'm not worried anymore. And she goes, okay. I said, and so you've worked the steps, right? And she goes, well, I'm supposed to start 4. And I said, oh, it's wonderful. I said, now you got to do 4. And she goes, who says? I said, well, I don't know. How are you going to sponsor her if you're not doing the steps? Okay, she goes, so I guess I get to do that book, Blueprint for Progress. I said, I guess you do. And she says, well, you know, I don't really get along with my sponsor. I said, well, that could be a problem. I said, well, have you thought about changing sponsorship? And she goes, well, you can sponsor me. She goes, why not? And she goes, you know, I think I should just ask you. But she didn't. So I didn't say anything because I wait for the question. It wasn't a question. I'm not taking the bait. And besides, she don't live in this country and she's young. And I like palling around and I said, you can do whatever you want. And she goes, you know, I'm going to ask so-and-so. And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I wondered from the first meeting why you are not with her. You guys are great together. So I'm going to ask her tomorrow. I said, great. And then you're going to call your old sponsor and tell her what is new with your relationship. She goes, Yvonne, this is turning into a lot of work. I'm like, welcome to sponsorship. She goes, I have to actually part ways. I said, well, you're going to cheat on her then. And no, I can't. I said, you can still call her. And she did. She asked another woman to sponsor her. She told her sponsor. Her old sponsor was excited for her. And she's starting the steps. And then she calls me and says, so I have this paper that says I have to do all these things. And then it says read all the books on. I said, uh-huh. Well, I called my new sponsor. She says, I'm not going to baby you. Do what you need to do. She says, so she didn't say I had to read them. And I said, look, if you want to bake the chocolate cake and you want it to bake it a good one and the way it tastes, then you better follow the recipe and start reading all the pages. I said, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, I shouldn't have called you. And I said, yeah, but you did, right? And so I can encourage people that I don't sponsor. And I said, you know, if you have a question, call me. All you have to do is pass on what you have learned. All you do is share your knowledge of the step. You don't have to make big decisions. And she goes, I can do that. I said, great. She goes, does it matter that she's like 20 years older than me? I said, no, it doesn't matter. The disease doesn't have an age on it, okay? There's no, if you're older, it's worse, and if you're younger, it's not. It doesn't exist. She goes, okay, great. So now she's sponsoring, and she's got a new sponsor, and she's working step 4, and I think it's awesome. And I do the same with my sponsees. It's like, if there is something, just call me. Just call me. You know, you'll be okay. And I think it's the baby steps that we're afraid of, that I'm afraid of, that I'm going to fall and stumble and I'm going to do it wrong. You can't do it wrong. There is no right and wrong. There's just what works for you, what are your values, your principles, and if you don't know them, guess what? You get to discover them while you're doing it. And keeping boundaries and confidentiality. I think it's important, it says in our reading, but let there be no gossip, if I cannot put somewhere with somebody exactly in detail what bothers me, there will be gossip. It needs to come out of my mouth. And I don't only listen for the content, I listen for context. Context is important. If my sponsee says, well, there's this woman that bothers me and I don't know who it is, well, and then she tells me it's her mother, I say, oh, it's your mother. Well, hold on a second. The context is really important to me. And I don't believe in anonymity between sponsor and sponsee, because then where am I going to go with it? Where can I be totally honest? So I have a sponsee that called me one morning. And by the way, these people know that I talk about them because I did ask them. I said, can I talk about you? And they go, great. And so a sponsee calls me one morning. She's checking in and she says, oh, we had an emergency this week. We have somebody staying with us. There was domestic violence, but it's all good. She goes to work and we already decided the date that she's going to leave. And I'm thinking, that's a lot of information. Something about that bothers me. So I start asking questions. And it turns out that the person that she took in her house is a sponsee. And I said, huh, that's interesting. Oh, no, we're fine. We're good. I'm like, well, you may want to keep in the back of your mind that who is she going to call if it's not good in your house? Because you're her sponsor. And why did you offer? Why did you really offer? So that might be something you want to think about. So 2 weeks go by. I didn't ask. It doesn't come up. I don't always ask. And she says, oh, my God, I have to talk to you. It's starting to bother me. I said, bother what? She's still here. I'm like, why is she not home? It was just a broken window, wasn't it? And she goes, well, she's scared, and she says she's going, but she's not. I'm like, you know, you may want to look at why you were so hasty to take her in. Why did you want to be that helpful? Why are you consoling her? She needs to hit a bottom because she's been struggling with the same issue for years. And so what was your drive? What was your motive? And remember, once you take a sponsee in, you have to be willing to lose them because it may go completely wrong. And do some writing about that and talk about that. Talk about what was your thought process. And, of course, I don't know about everybody else, but, you know, my boundaries are not always solid. And when I start people-pleasing, I don't have no use for boundaries. And we discovered what her motives were. And we discovered that, yeah, I was the mattress between her and the wall one more time. And I keeping her from her bottom by making life easy. She could have afforded a hotel very easily. She could have had a lot of other solutions. She could have gone home. She could have stayed home. But that was not the case. So as a sponsor, I work with my sponsee. This was about her stuff. It's not about the sponsee stuff. This is about her stuff. And how are you sponsoring? And what is with your boundaries? And it helps her to be a better sponsor. It helps me to be a better sponsor. I learn the hard way, and I have experiences the hard way. And sometimes I follow direction, and sometimes I forget to ask for direction. Just, oops, oh, I just did something, right? I said, next time, call me before you make a good idea. And so, tips for new sponsors. I think the most asked question is, how can I do it right, and what am I doing wrong, and what am I supposed to say, and what am I not supposed to say? That intense fear that I'm going to screw something up, that intense fear that relationships are not the same. They're all organic and they're all different, and some people are easier for me, some people are harder. But I think the dynamics in relationships that I have learned through sponsorship, because my sponsor was the first person that knew everything about me, and I didn't keep it in baskets. I was completely honest. It took time. Didn't do that over one night, ice. But to have that intimacy of honesty and courage to discover what's going on and to tell that to another person and to be willing to hear what they're hearing, what I'm not always conscious that I'm really saying. To have somebody understand me better than I sometimes can understand myself, I learned that through experience. I didn't get there over one night ice. But I always have something to give when I'm one step ahead of somebody. I always have one step more, I have 1 week more, I have 1 month more, and the fire under my ass keeps me going. It just keeps me going. It's like, oh, my God, can't fail here. If she picked, oh, no, I got to be perfect. So my defects work for me as well. They don't always work against me. And I had to find out what can and what can I do, and I find that out by doing it. And I find out that that, you know, if I care more about their feelings than their recovery, I don't do them justice. This is a program of honesty, and if I'm not willing to be honest and lose you, I wasn't looking for a friend when you asked me to sponsor you. I'm not looking for friendship. I'm looking for honesty. I'm looking for somebody that has the courage to tell me the truth so that I can have a freedom that I can't find anywhere else, and definitely not on my own. I didn't get sick by myself. So I care more about your recovery than your feelings, and that's my bottom line. And if I want to be your friend more than I want to sponsor you, then you need to get a different sponsor so I can pal around. And I love that this young girl, that I don't sponsor her because she's me in a 27-year version. I love that I can pal around with her. I love that I have her ear. If I would be sponsoring her, that would be a whole different ballgame. She would be fighting with me, and I probably would be fighting with her. And fighting, not screaming, yelling, but resisting. And so that's something that I've learned today, that if I am willing to be accountable and I'm willing to check in with my sponsor, I'm willing to check in with other people, and I'm willing to ask for help, I cannot go wrong. And I'm willing to honestly look at myself and hold my boundaries and confidentiality to the world And I asked my sponsor, is he okay if I tell that story? I called the girl. She goes, I don't care. What are you doing? And I said, when you're sleeping, darling. So sweet dreams. And so that's what I have. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Sue. And I'm definitely a grateful member of this fellowship. Just want to thank Claudia for inviting me here today. It's always a privilege to be able to share, you know, my journey and kind of the experience, strength, and hope, you know, that others have given to me. And I guess, you know, as I've kind of reflected back on what it was like for me when I first started sponsoring and what I needed, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones in that when I came into the program, you know, growing up in the alcoholic home, having family members, and eventually marrying an alcoholic, you know, I was pretty much an expert on what it was like to grow up in that environment and recreate it in my life. And by the time I came into the program in my 30s, I had already learned the lessons about don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. And so, you know, I really had to look at the person that shared that very first meeting was a person that I really related with. And within a week to 2 weeks of me starting the program, she became my sponsor. And, you know, I am really grateful today because when I look today at how I can encourage sponsees, I look back at what I needed when I got here. And what I needed was basically somebody that I could relate to and talk to. I was always reminded that when it was time for me to start sponsoring, that this is a program where I don't have to do anything alone. And to go along with that, it was really important for me to stay focused on my own recovery and on my own spiritual program. Because part of that not doing anything alone, I was reminded that there's a chain of sponsorship. I don't hear a lot about it when I'm sitting in meetings today. It was a really common thing that, that was said a lot. And basically what that meant was that I had a sponsor, my sponsor had a sponsor, she had a sponsor. And so if I had issues with a sponsee about, I had somebody that I could go to and share in a general manner with, that first sponsor really helped me to be able to learn to trust and become completely transparent with somebody. And so with, you know, encouraging sponsees, you know, one of the things that I look back on is the fact that two things really stopped me from feeling brave enough to want to start sponsoring when it was time. And that was my own fear about not being able to do something well. And the other part of that is the self-esteem. Just thinking I didn't have, what I had wasn't good enough. And so, you know, for me, it's really important that in encouraging sponsees to remind them that this is not something that they have to do by themselves. There are others, just like in the program, that are there, you know, to help, to give, share experience, strength, and hope. And the other thing is that where's the higher power in all that? You know, what I know today is really quantity of program has little to do with quality of program, and it's quality of program that I bring on a daily basis depending on that conscious contact that I have with that higher power. You know, the other thing in reference to sponsoring is that I'm always reminded that this is a fellowship of equals. You know, there's in some of our literature, it talks about the ladder relationship where people are either above me or below me. And one of the biggest gifts this program has given me is the ability to remember that we're just equal. We just widen the circle. And part of that widening the circle, you know, is basically remembering that everybody brings something to the table. You know, the other thing is that having a sponsor has allowed me the opportunity to remember that it's really important to listen. And listen, be willing to listen with that open heart by making myself available. And what I tell new people is that it's a God thing when somebody comes in and asks if they're willing to be sponsored, you know, if they're willing to be a sponsor. And that, you know, I was also reminded that, again, just like the literature talks about, that it was suggested to me that I do a 30-day trial period with somebody to see how well the relationship would work. So it's not that you're plugged in, do it for a short period of time, check in with each other to see if it's working for both parties. You know, and I make myself available to people. And basically, making sure to ask the other person, what is it that they need? Not what I assume that they need, but what do they need? And, getting down to once some of my sponsees have been asked, you know, to be a sponsor, how do you support that? For me, it's like every single time and this was even before call waiting, when the phone would ring at the house, I would immediately ask my higher power to be with me to answer that phone call. Because one of the things that I was constantly reminded of is that this is a spiritual relationship and that it was something that I wasn't doing the sponsoring. I was being used by my higher power to help, to be given the words. And my job was to be the voice of that higher power. So in doing that, it lifted the responsibility of feeling overly responsible for whether somebody is, you know, doing what I think they should be doing. And so being able to support new members by doing that simple prayer about, dear God, bless them and change me. Something happens to me when I go to that higher power first. I am more available to be able to listen to people with that open heart. Also in supporting, new sponsors, sharing experience, strength, and hope. I can't even emphasize enough how important it was for me not to give advice. It was simply enough if a new sponsor was coming to me with things that they were upset about. I'm going to tell you anything that I share here today about my own walk through sponsorship has been things that every other sponsee that I have had that is dealing with this has exactly had the same issues, you know. And so number one, did somebody ask for my opinion? If they didn't ask, I wasn't given it. And I was very careful even when I was asked about what I thought about something, because I would try and turn it around and ask people more clarifying questions for them. This is a journey that each individual gets to take on their own. I don't know what it is that higher power wants them to learn in this process. It's not up to me to decide. It's up to me to be open and willing to listen to that higher power when I get the urge to share something with new sponsors. You know, the other thing is that I gotta tell you, I've learned how to sponsor by how not to do it. I have learned more lessons from falling flat on my face than I have ever learned from doing everything the right way. Early on in sponsorship, the first thing that I remember hearing is that, Sue, there's no such thing as a personality conflict. There's only you not wanting to do it my way. And boy, I didn't like to hear that. You know what they say in the program about the truth will set you free, but first it's really going to tick you off. Well, I was pretty angry about that because I was, you know, pretty sure that the other person really had a lot to contribute to why things weren't going well. You know, the other thing in reference to again, that sponsorship relationship is one of the questions that my current sponsor frequently asks me. She says, Sue, I cannot hear what you're not saying. So it means that I have to have a very clear communication. And you know, I got to tell you, I didn't do it well in the beginning. You know, I'm just as human on any given day. I could be the shining star of how to do it, or I could be just the absolute turkey on how not to. And so in supporting new sponsors today, one of the things that I try and remember is what it was given to me is that instead of beating myself up when I didn't show up the way I wanted to show up or say things that I wanted that I felt I could have done better, is instead of beating myself up about that, the question to ask myself is, Sue, what did you learn? What did you learn from this? And being able to write that down. And because one of the valuable things that happened to me was that by doing that, I got to tell you, I rarely made the same mistake again. There was some real value in that, and that's what I have, you know, in supporting the new sponsees and sponsors. You know, those are the things that have really helped me remember that. And, you know, that business about loving with an open heart, the better I know somebody, the better I love them. And the love is what I've heard in this program about that acronym, about letting others voluntarily evolve, you know. You know, that has been a real eye-opener for me to be able to sponsor, offer experience, strength, and hope with an open hand and not with expectations about what's coming back to me. You know, I guess the next thing in reference to this is, you know, keeping boundaries and confidentiality. Can't say how important confidentiality is. It is absolutely critical to develop trust. Trust, I had to develop that trust, and today, it's something that I work very hard at, is that whatever is told to me, it stays with me. It does not leave me, whether it's supporting new sponsors, and what they're wanting to share, about their sponsees, and to remember too that before I share things with my sponsor, if I don't have an answer, I ask the sponsee if it's okay for me to take it up the chain, up that sponsorship chain, so that there's that circle of people that I can call on to be able to find answers. You know, and a lot of times establishing boundaries are something that I usually do at the first meeting with a new sponsee. It's the same kind of thing that I highly recommend for anybody that's beginning that journey. And it's basically things like, you know, I'm not a 911 sponsor. I need to hear from people often. When I don't, I can't keep up with that. I can't tell you how many times with some new sponsees, they don't call for several weeks. And then when they call, it takes an hour just to get caught up on what's going on with them. And yes, can I do that? Yes. It's not helpful in the long run to develop that relationship, that sacred relationship between the two. I guess, you know, those are some things that I say up front. And as time goes on, you know, as things come up, where people are either texting me at midnight about what's going on outside their window at night, you know, having to set new boundaries with established sponsees and with helping to share that information with others. I'm really good in the morning. I'm good until about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I am available if you have a crisis, by all means, but don't call about something that can't wait until morning. Or text. And the other thing, you know, down to tips for anybody sponsoring, I could spend hours talking about studying the traditions, because every single problem that I have in a relationship and that I have seen sponsees or sponsors having with sponsees, it all gets down to where there's been a violation of a tradition. And by basically paying attention to the traditions, that's where my solutions come. You know, focusing on principles, basically to allow myself to stay spiritually directed instead of emotionally driven has really helped me in relationships. And the final thing is that for me, the relationship that I have with a sponsee and with helping to support other sponsors is basically this program is a language of the heart, and that one of the most intimate sacred relationships I have, and that I hope everybody eventually has that opportunity to have, is what's between a sponsor and a sponsee. I cannot tell you how valuable that has been in my program, and how excited I am to be able to share and hope of that for others. So anyway, I really appreciate the opportunity to share today, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sue. That was wonderful. So next up is Joy.
Hi, everybody. I'm just starting my... Okay. Claudia, thanks for inviting me to come here and share, and Melanie and everybody that's doing the service in this workshop. It's been an amazing workshop. I've really enjoyed everything that I've heard, and I've learned a lot. Before I came into this program, when I came into this program and I'd been here a little while, everybody kept saying to me, you might like to get a sponsor, Joy. And for me, I thought, they just don't get it. I'm just fine. I'm good. I don't need any help. If I have literature, I'll be just fine. I don't need anybody. So, but so many people asked me that I decided that, I would get a sponsor to prove that I didn't need a sponsor. So I picked this lady out in the room, and she said to me, I can't be your sponsor. And I thought, what? And she said, because I have too many sponsees already. So it ended up that the next time I came back to the meeting, she came up to me and she said, I found you a sponsor. I thought, really? In my head, the goal that she found me a sponsor. But then I thought, well, I just need to prove that I don't need one anyway. So I took this lady on, and in the sense of I was going to prove that I didn't need her. And I could not believe the difference that she made in my life. So I encourage anybody in this room that doesn't have a sponsor to get one, because it really is a way of understanding the disease of alcohol and moving yourself forward in your own personal life of growth. The question is, how can sponsors encourage a sponsee to begin sponsoring? Well, I read in The Path of Recovery on page 121 that we need to give the program away in order to keep it. So I have learned that by living the program and being an example, you know, to the best of my ability, because we're all at different levels of recovery, increases my own growth. So I don't become a sponsor to help others. I become a sponsor to help myself grow in this program. We're never alone in Al-Anon, which I didn't understand, because I didn't need anybody. And when I came here and people just loved me for who I was, I discovered that it's amazing that these people love me unconditional. Even the sponsor that I didn't really need, she just loved me unconditionally. So I know that you don't have to know everything in this program. You just have to be one step ahead of another to share your experience, strength, and hope of where you have been and move forward. So sponsoring new sponsors, supporting new sponsors. Well, how I support new sponsors in my recovery is that I make sure that I share in a meeting, especially when we're talking about sponsorship, share my experience, strength, and hope, support them and where they are, and reestablish. Like today, Sue just shared a whole mess of stuff that, I mean, I'm going to take little nuggets from that because she said things that I never even thought of. And, you know, those are the things that we learn from each other if we're listening. So being willing to listen to your sponsees and or to other sponsors and to be willing to share experience, strength, and hope. Participating in workshops like this or even just any other workshop, even being the person that sets up the coffee pot is an important part of this. We're all together in this, and we're all working together. It's a we program. It's not an I program. Keeping boundaries and confidentiality. Well, what I've learned is that I need to start out the relationship with somebody. If they want me to sponsor them, I start it out with good communication as best that I can. Because you know what? When I came here, I don't think I had the skills of good communication. I've learned some of it, and I'm still working on myself. But at the same time, you know, I used to think I had to people-please people. But I've discovered today that that's not the... I need to stand up and be honest of where I'm at. Not brutally honest, like say to somebody, I absolutely hate that top. You know, those are things that you can just leave in the back and you don't have to talk about them. But, and we're not going to like everybody. We're going to love everybody in a special way. So, good communication right from the start, saying and explaining, you know, what I might need in my life as far as my boundaries to take care of myself, like how often, you know, I want them to call or not call. But, you know, I'm pretty open. I think that it's important to be open and allow them to call me whenever they can. But I want them to know I can't answer the phone every single minute of the day. So they can leave a message and I will call them back, you know. And it's important to me. When I take on a sponsee, it's important for me to be there for them. But they need to be there for me as well. So they need to tell me whether they're going to show up or not. You know, if they can't make it, it's okay that they can't make it, but they need to tell me that. So it's good communication between you and your sponsee right from the start. And it's not laying down rules. It's talking it through. It's reading things out with each other and being on the same page. I had to learn about anonymity and what it meant here. And anonymity to me means that we're equals, that I'm not any better than the sponsee. So for me, I need to understand that I need to communicate that with her and explain to her whom you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here. That doesn't mean just in a meeting. That means with us. I'm not going to tell anybody about what we're talking about. We're not going to communicate. You know, we're going to talk this through together and we're going to find the solution. And if we need extra help, then I'm going to ask permission to talk to my sponsor about it so that we can keep the line of communication going and so that we can come to a solution that works for both of us. And going through the steps is just, we don't not do the steps together because that's where we find the solutions to our problems. I didn't realize that. I didn't even think they would work. But today I can take a step, I can take a problem and work it through the steps. And by the end of step 12, I have found a solution. And it's amazing how that works. But so when a sponsee comes with me to a problem, and we have already done all the steps together, I will take them through the steps and show them how to work the step on that problem. And it's amazing because that brings God into our lives in every which way, or the higher power of your understanding. Being a good example is really important, but, you know, I'm not perfect. It's progress, not perfection. And I'm going to make mistakes, but I need to own up to it. Just like step one tells me to be honest, that spiritual principle of honesty, I have to be honest. And so I have to own my own mistakes. I always need to take care of myself first before I take care of somebody else, because I can't help anybody if I'm not healthy myself. So I need to learn to build trust between the sponsee and myself. And you do that by being honest, by being a good example, by showing up on time, by saying what you said you would do, you know. And if you can't, be honest and say, I messed up. You know, just be honest. You're not perfect. And before I came into the program, I couldn't do that because I was Mrs. Perfect. Because my father told me one time when I was very young and carried it through my life, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. So I never could do anything unless I did it perfectly. I never did it perfectly, but I never could admit that I wasn't doing it perfectly. But today my life is a lot different because I can let go and let God. I don't have to hold on to that old thinking. I can move on and be more open-minded. Other tips for sponsees, remind them that you don't have to know it all. You're never alone. There, you can reach out for help anywhere. There's a phone list. There's a sponsor. There's a meeting. There's so many tools in your toolbox. And, you know, as a sponsor, I share those things with them and we go through them and we understand them and open them up. And I learn from them as well. This is a we program, not an I program. All the readings and all the literature that we have, it talks about we. It doesn't talk about I. And when I first came in this program, I was working with my sponsor. I said, I know I'm powerless over alcohol. I know that. But I use the I. And it says, come to believe on step two. And I said, I believe. I said, I believe. She says, it doesn't say I, it says come to believe. You don't have to believe on step two. You just have to be willing to have an open mind to come to believe. You know, it gives you hope in that step. So when you're misinterpreting the steps, you know, and I just kept saying I, because it was all about joy. But now, today, I know it's a we program. And I know that you guys have my back. And I know if I have a problem or an issue, I can come to any of you. You don't even have to be my sponsor. You can even be a newcomer. But we can sit and we can talk it through and we can come up with a solution. There's so many tools there's so many tools in this program that you can put in your toolbox. The one big thing for me was literature because it's a treasure chest of, it's a treasure chest. It's a gift to my recovery because it's readings from the past Al-Anon members that put them forward. But not only that, it was a group conscience that decided to put it in a book. So it's a higher power that put that book together for us so that we could move forward. Literature is amazing. But, you know, even literature, we don't do alone. We talk about it. We reason things out. We talk about them in workshops. We try to work through everything. Continuity of care. A continuity is really, really important to be consistent in your recovery. So I need to set up continuity with my sponsees so that they aren't just out there wondering if they can call me. Because, you know, they're afraid to pick up that phone. It seems so heavy. I know that because I was one of them. I didn't want to bother her. It was just a little thing. And I say, call me, text me, email me. You can do all those things. You can even come and knock on my door at my house. But I said, if I'm not there, you just leave a note and I'll get back to you. I mean, it's an amazing program. And when I do that, I learn from that because I learn to be patient, considerate, kind, and loving. I need to listen, learn, let go, and love. That's what this program has taught me. And I just want everybody to know that you're not stuck with one sponsor. You don't have to stay with one person. If it's not working for you, and I tell my sponsees right from the start, if this is not working for you, I want you to go find somebody else because I want you to find recovery because it is an amazing program. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joy. I really enjoyed that. Next up, we have Cindy.
Hi, my name is Cindy. I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, which includes Alateen, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Claudia and Melody, and thank you, everybody, for being here. And this is so Al-Anon that we would take time out of our day to show up for one another and bring what we have and bring our open minds and open hearts. This is such a different way to live than I did before I got into Al-Anon. And so to me, that is really what sponsorship has shown me, and that's what I have to give away. So I'm going to answer the questions as well. I'm going to speak from my own experience. And so just want to make sure, because sometimes I just want to make sure that nobody thinks I'm speaking for Al-Anon, just for myself. So how can a sponsor encourage a sponsee to sponsor? Well, for me, it starts with me. Let it begin with me. I need to be an encouraging person, period. And so I need to attend to my own sense of encouragement as a spiritual principle that I get from the program. So encouraging a sponsee to sponsor should come naturally for me from encouraging the sponsee to do all the things. That it's a natural outgrowth of being encouraging. Sponsorship isn't about dragging somebody anywhere, forcing somebody through something, but about encouragement. And so it seems to me to be a natural thing that grows out of this relationship. I think encouraging a sponsee to sponsor is a real part of, a foundational part of my relationship with that person. And it's something we talk about from the beginning. It's not a secret that you're going to do these magical steps, and then one day, poof, you'll have a crown and a little wand, and you too will be able to sponsor somebody. For me, the relationship includes this notion that we are working together on recovery so that we can carry the message to others. And sponsoring is a way to carry the message. It's one of the many ways we can carry the message. So I spend a lot of time discussing the 12th step, no matter what part of the process we're in, just remembering that where we're heading through the steps is to have a spiritual awakening as a result and to carry the message. And so as we work together and figure out the best way to study the steps, traditions, concepts, the program, we will also be putting tools consciously into their toolbox because I want them to know, oh, this is something I'll be able to use, whether it's with a future sponsee or with my husband when I go back home or, you know, the lady at the bank, the bank teller that I have to go deal with tomorrow. So these tools are really meant to be used. So that encouragement comes from me and from this relationship that we have. In supporting new sponsors, I try not to just support my own sponsees. I try to support the people in my groups and that I come across in service who are sponsoring by being open about I sponsor and I'd love to listen here, talk about whatever. I can share this about the way I do it. I figured out a new way to do step 8. And does anybody want to hear? And things like that. And so I bring this up in conversation because as a fellowship, we are responsible, I feel. We are responsible for this very important tool. Not me personally, like Cindy, you know, it's on my shoulders, but I'm part of this larger group So I love to talk about sponsorship. I love to encourage people in my district, in my area, people in my cohort, just wherever. Let's do a workshop. Let's do a workshop on sponsors, and let's make, have all the sponsors, people who are sponsors, go around and talk about what's your biggest problem. What's your biggest mistake? What's the one thing you wish you never had to tell anybody that you said to a sponsor, to a sponsee? I mean, it's just so helpful, just like Al-Anon meetings, to be able to share my ups and downs as part of the program, not just my personal failings or personal triumphs. And I also think it's very important for me, and this is something that I, when I tell my story, I think it's important for us to talk about really different ways to sponsor. And I like to tell my sponsees, you can do this however you and your higher power work this through in this relationship with this person. My higher power is intimately and foundationally involved in my work with a sponsee. And that is not for them to necessarily say, I have to go and repeat that very same thing. Because by the time that person is sponsoring somebody, all kinds of new things will happen, and including they will be somebody different. So to repeat what I did with them when they were like this, hey, it's different. And I make it a point to try to sponsor differently with each person. I make it a point to try to have my program be so new each day that I have something to share with this sponsee that I didn't have with that sponsee that I had 2 years ago. And that's for me, for my growth. And that's so when I came into the program, like a lot of you, I heard all about how I was going to get a sponsor and she was going to pick me up in a car and she was going to take me everywhere and she was going to take me to assembly. I was so excited because I was finally going to get the mom I never had. And I was super open. I was 25 years old. I was super little cute and perky. And I, please, somebody take me. You know, it never worked out for that. I never had a sponsor who put me in a car. I never had a sponsor who came to an assembly with me or a convention with me. I have never had a sponsor who even invited me to get in their car. So, but I have great programs. I have a great relationship with a higher power and with Al-Anon. And the women who opened their hearts to me, their lives to me, shared with me for the time that we were together were miracles in my life. And I have a family full of alcoholics. I'm married to an alcoholic who's sober right now in AA, yay him. I have 3 daughters that grew up, and by the time they were teenagers, they were all in AA, yay them. That's their story. So I've got lifetimes of people that are going to be in my life forever. I don't need the sponsee necessarily to be in my life forever in that deep and intense way. And so obviously that must be why God had me get sponsors like that. So that my experience is that whatever, whenever somebody can open themselves up to me, and share with me, it'll help my program. So I like to let my sponsees know that it's going to look different because you're not me and you're you and your higher power. When I came into the program, I used the little blueprint for the 4th step. Then I used the big blueprint. Then I've used Path to Recovery. I use some of my own questions sometimes. I use Reaching for Personal Freedom. I have no idea. Whatever God says to me today, when we get to a 4th step, here's how we're going to do the 4th step. I want my sponsees to know when they sponsor, they have that freedom too. This program is always renewing itself like spring. And so they can reach in. And they have the confidence to do that, and I want them to do that. I also encourage any sponsor, especially a new one, but to stick with step 3 and step 12. You know, stick with your higher power. You remember that you took step 3. Remember that you have turned your will and your life over to the care of God. So remind yourself every time you talk to your own sponsee. Remind yourself, oh, I want to punch him in the nose. Yes, yes you do, human you, and you have a higher power. So we're not going to punch them today. And then it's okay to feel those human feelings, but our spiritual relationship is led by that higher power. And step 12 is that we're just carrying a message. We're just carrying a message. We're not forcing anybody to drink anything. And as they start to sponsor, just remember, whatever that person does is no reflection on you and your program of recovery. And there's no failing, and there's no getting fired, and there's no anything. It's every day. There's a new day, and you're stepping into it with your higher power. So just stick with step 3 and step 12 if you ever get stuck. Keeping boundaries and confidentiality, I also believe this really begins with me. It begins with me, and as I sponsor somebody and help them move into sponsoring others, I've been through their 4th step and 5th step with them. And I'm pretty honest. And so if I know somebody who has a problem with gossip or that came up in their 5th step or whatever, we talk about it straight up. Remember, this was in your 4th step. Remember, this is something that I know you have worked step 6 and step 7. So keep working those steps because you're going to hear things. You're going to want to talk about it. You're going to be, somebody's going to say something in a meeting and you're going to want to share about your sponsee. It's okay. But just remember, keep focusing on the steps for my own recovery, and that the confidentiality and the anonymity is a spiritual foundation of the whole program. So I don't just trot it out for when I'm a sponsor. I got to practice that in my daily practice with the program, and I hope that that's one of the things that helps my sponsees feel free to become a sponsor and to move on, and because I hope that that's one of the things that they continue to practice. This sense of anonymity goes beyond, I don't know your name. It goes to this anonymity means that your story isn't so interesting that I have to make it my own to tell somebody else. And that anonymity is that your experiences are yours and they're sacred to you. And I don't have to trot them out to entertain somebody else ever. And those kind of spiritual principles of anonymity end up deepening my recovery and helping me be a better person, as both Sue and Joy talked about. This whole thing is about me recovering as opposed to actually helping somebody else. So I try to help them, encourage them to study anonymity as a principle and keep going back to step 6. And I need to turn some of these things over to my higher power, including whether or not I talk about people. And I also think being honest about it and being able to talk about it instead of always couching it in, here's the right thing to do, don't talk about somebody or don't break any anonymity. I think for me, being able to share, you know, I have broken anonymity. I have walked out of an Alateen meeting as an Amias and the mom is there, and I have walked right up with that teenager there and said, oh, he was so great and so sweet today in the meeting. What the heck, Cindy? You know, I mean, and it just pops because to me it's very nice to encourage the parents about how, Cindy, stop it. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of this program. And so to turn right to that young person and say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And so when I share that with my sponsees who are beginning to sponsor, no, we are all going to make mistakes. And that's part of the program. Step 8 isn't there so that I can avoid it for the whole life. Step 8 is there because I have a way to handle when I make my mistakes. So, I'll close with some tips. I think tips are important. I try to make notes with the women that I sponsor and people that call me and ask me for help. And these are some of the things I ask them to do. I ask them to keep tradition too, ever in the front of their mind. If you're looking for an authority, if that's why you're calling me, I need to know what's right. Did they violate this? Just run it through tradition too first. There's one authority in this program, a loving God. And let's just turn there. What is the group, whether the group is my committee in my head, or you and your sponsee or whoever, you know, the loving God is the only authority in the room. I encourage him to read Concept 9 in the Service Manual and read that leadership essay from Bill W. I think that there are so many nuggets of gold in there that help me. And I like for a sponsee to understand that as a sponsor, they're a leader. They're a leader. And in that moment, they're embodying a spiritual principle of leadership. And one of the things in that, one of the many things in that is that leader knows how to listen to good ideas from anybody. And so for me, if a sponsee can move into a sponsor relationship with that attitude, there's just a natural humility in that that they can hold on to and feel comfortable. My sponsor told me really early on, yeah, you have a great relationship with your higher power. I don't know why you keep it on a mile-high tightrope where every minor mistake is going to be fatal. How about we bring your tightrope down and put it on the ground? And that way, if you make a mistake, yeah, you don't die. And so I ask my sponsees to do that. That's humility. Take this sponsor relationship, this new thing you're going to do, this new tool, and keep it on the ground. Keep it on the ground. You're not going to ruin anybody, and you know they're not going to ruin you. And keep it calm like that. I do suggest they use the conflict resolution kit. I love that. I ask them to keep the wallet card. If they've been with me through sponsorship, then they've already comfortable with that kit. And oh, I'm sorry, I gotta go. I mean, I'm finished. Anyway, I ask them to use the conflict resolution kit, and I'm really sorry I went over my time. So, thank you. Thank you for letting me be here.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.